Well, we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews chapter 6 has issued a very stiff warning to these Christians who were going to retreat in the face of opposition, and they were going to go back to the Old Testament sacrifices. You get a clear sense in Hebrews chapter 6 that those Old Testament sacrifices are finished, that they were shadow, that they were no substance, they just were a type of what Jesus would do upon the cross when He assumed His forever permanent Melchizedekian priesthood. And it's because He is forever interceding that the security of the Christian is firm. And the cure for that we looked at was found in imitation of our Father. And I shocked last week, found out that we, Gentiles, because of what Jesus did, were engrafted through faith, and that our Father is truly Abraham. He is the father of us all. It isn't the physical connection of Abraham that counts. It is the spiritual connection that we have on the basis of faith. You know, in the Bible, when you look at it, there are only two families in this world. There are not all these families that we see on a physical level. We all may look differently, but in biblical terms, we all go back to the same great-grandparents. And in terms of our true lineage, there are only two families in this world: the children of God and the children of Satan. I remind you, let's go to John chapter 8 just briefly. I want to show you that it doesn't matter about physical lineage. The promises made to Abraham are certain and sure, not only for those who were literal children of Abraham. Matter of fact, literal children of Abraham were a type of the true children of God, who followed in the footsteps of their father Abraham by faith. This is a very interesting chapter in John chapter 8. Jesus has been preaching. And in verse 30, you know, I always go back to John. I love John. Jesus said, or it says about Jesus, He spoke these things and many came to what? And everybody said, be careful with that. What's the next verse? The next verse says this: so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, and everybody said, amen. But be careful there. It isn't physical lineage. Jesus said to them at the Billy Graham Crusade, they came forward. And you know how they pass out literature? And here's the literature that Jesus gave them. It wasn't written down, it was oral. If you, who's the you there? Who wants to do a Bible study right now? Tell me who the you is. The Jews who believed in Him. They were physically related to Abraham. He says, if, and that's a conditional clause. It means if. And Jesus had some doubts. That's funny. Wait, excuse me. Scratch my head. Can you hear that? I can. Scratch my head. They believed in Him. Excuse me? Then why if? If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, they didn't like that literature. As a preacher, I'm always faced with people that take umbrage at something I say. That's the job. It's a dangerous job. More religious people have been hung. And believe me, there are many ropes with my name on it. And look what they say. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How dare you say we will become free?" Now wait, they said we're physical descendants of Abraham. We are related to Abraham by blood. Beloved, in the new covenant, it ain't blood that makes you related to Abraham. Now watch what happens. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." What's he telling them? You're still sinners. Wait, they believed in him. Gets worse. "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me." Well, wait a second here. Go back to verse 8:30. What's it say? Many believed in him, so that Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in him, "But I know that you are Abraham's physical descendants, yet you seek to..." Wait a second, how could they be believers in Jesus and yet seeking to kill him? That's because, listen to me, there is what they call in John's Gospel professing versus true, genuine belief. Anybody can claim to be a Christian. Adolf Hitler made those kind of professions. But his deeds showed that he wasn't. There are many preachers in the pulpits who make a profession. It's proof in the pudding of the deeds. Jesus always taught that. Never taught that mere intellectual assent. It's got to get to the heart. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." How could they? Well, you tell you what, in John it says of Jesus, Jesus knew the heart of men and he didn't entrust himself to men because he knew what was in their heart. By the way, we don't. Anybody that professes to know Jesus, I'm not going to sit there and say, no, they don't. I may have some wonderment. I may be a little bit of a fruit inspector. But leave it to God. Jesus said there are going to be some surprises in the kingdom. The sons of the kingdom will be cast out. It's going to be some shocks. "Many shall come in that day and sit down and have a glass of wine with me in my kingdom. But the sons of the kingdom," Jesus said in Matthew 8, "will be cast." What did they think? Physical relationship to Abraham was a guarantee. We deserve it because we're related to him. This is why we don't infant baptize here. Because infant baptism is the same idea in Christian churches where if you baptize the infant, somehow that's magic juju to make sure they're saved. Ain't going to do it. Has to be a profession, willful profession of faith that's backed up by deeds. The deeds don't save you. They just show that you have already been saved. They were seeking to kill him, but it says they believed in him. The word has no place. And they said to him, "Abraham is our father." In other words, we descend from Abraham. We have the proof. We have the genetic record. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham." What now? Let me ask you something. We've been studying. What is the deeds of Abraham? What? Who said that? Paul, faith. That's it. The deeds of Abraham was trust God. Now, there were times in which he had a problem with that. But the deeds of Abraham was trust. They didn't trust. They thought that their physical relationship qualified them. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Abraham wouldn't have killed Jesus. It says in Hebrews when we get there, he looked from afar and saw what was going to happen and he rejoiced. Jesus said in John 8:58, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Somehow Abraham knew more. Now, what's going on is what is the crowd begins to mumble. I've had that happen. Pastor Dave will say something and then people will go, that stupid idiot. That's okay. Got to get in line. There's a long line of people that are forming to challenge everything that I do. That's okay. I'm used to that. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. No, wait. Abraham is our father. Jesus says, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds. But as it, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And then they said this, we be not born of fornication. Now, that's an odd thing unless you realize this. This crowd is a pip. Abraham is our father, but Jesus, we know the rumors about your mom. We know those rumors that we know that Joseph ain't your daddy. You're a bastard is what they mean by that. We are 100% related to Abraham and Sarah. Your papa is unknown. You're a bastard child. Ooh, they strike right at the heart. That must have made Jesus feel bad. Don't you think in his humanity that would have hurt? Boy, in those days, you know, today, at least one third of all children are born out of wedlock, are born not with a normal family. Today it's not the stigma, but to say that, we be not born of fornication like you. Wait, they believed in him? But they didn't. And they struck right. That's mean. Little children, listen to me. Little children born out of wedlock can't help it. Don't punish the child for what the parents do. But I've known many families where the child has been punished because it wasn't legitimate. There has been no illegitimate children. They've all been born one way. They may not have been legally married. But this strikes at Jesus because they're saying, we're Abraham's children, but you're a bastard child because you only have 50% at the best because of Mary. Joseph wasn't your daddy boy. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. So what's a sign of someone who truly has God as their father? You love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, guess what? God isn't your father. Well then, as Dana Carvey would say, who's your daddy? You would love me, for I proceeded forth and am come from God. For I have not come down on my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. And then this strikes. For Jesus was no weak preacher. You know, you always have the idea that Jesus walked around peace, love, man. Well, He was a very gentle man, a bruised reed. He did not. But boy, Jesus knew how to whack. Oh, you want to call me a bastard child? Well, let me tell you the truth, because I know your heart. Look what it says in 44. You are of your father, the devil. So what's that saying? You can be related to Abraham, and if you don't trust in Jesus Christ and receive Him, who's your daddy? Physical relationship in the new covenant does not matter. It's those who believe and trust in Jesus. And Jesus told the Jews who believe that physically related, you are of your father the devil. There's only two children in Jesus' eyes that John presents. You either are a child of God who has accepted Jesus Christ and demonstrated the faith of your father Abraham. What is Abraham known for? Faith. It's not those, Paul says in Romans, who are the physical descendants, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. And that you can be physically related to Abraham and be a child of the devil? What separates it? It isn't race in the new covenant. It isn't physical genes. It is having the one characteristic of your daddy: trust, faith of Abraham, who rejoiced to see Jesus' day. That's why Jesus said, "I have sheep in John 10 that are not of this flock." That's why Abraham, it said, we read last week, that God made it by faith so that the promise would be sure not only to those who are physically related to Abraham, but those who are spiritually the seed of Abraham. The seed, and what makes us that? In Christ. That's what does it. You are of your father, the devil. The devil was a murderer. Woo! From the beginning, and does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of liars. You know what Jesus was calling them? Who's your daddy? The devil. What does a daddy do? Lie. You know what you're doing? Lying. See, don't. It said they believed in him. Not everybody who says is. This was what Jesus taught. Which one of you convicts me of sin? But because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. He who is of God hears the words of God. The Jews answered and said, "Did we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan?" Wow, that is a real chop. That shows you that when they said, "We be not born of fornication," that's exactly my understanding of that is exactly right. Because they said, "We're not a Samaritan." What was a Samaritan? Someone who was only half Jewish, physically. Well, we know your mama was Mary, but we happen to know who's your daddy. We don't know who that is, boy. You're a Samaritan. And what did the Jews think of Samaritans? Stone them, kill them. What did God do? He took those precious Samaritans that John wanted to fry with fire from heaven. And he sent John back, and John put his arms around them, and they became sons of Abraham together through Christ, the seed. Jesus said, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me." Then the Jews said, "Then now we know you have a demon. Abraham's dead. If you, anyone, keeps my word," Jesus said, "he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than Abraham, our father, who died." He's dead. We may be related to him, but he's gone. Jesus answered and said, "If I glorified myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' And you have not come to know him. But I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his word." What's the? How do you know him? You what? Keep his word. So then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, young man. Have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Listen up. Listen up. I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." So what do good fundamentalists do? What do good fundamentalists do? They stone people. Look at verse 59. In their self-righteousness, what do? "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him." By the way, I didn't get into this, but it was the Pharisees, especially in this group, that Jesus was talking to. The fundamentalists of his day. You say, "Dave, now you dare you go with those fundamentalists." Yeah. Listen to me. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith at Grace Bible Church. Most certainly do. But there is a culture in fundamentalism that is legalistic and self-righteous. There is no room for legalism and there is no room for self-righteousness. But the only difference between a follower of Jesus and a person who doesn't is, except the family is, God's grace has saved us. And what does it say that the fundamentalists were going to do to their Savior whom He came to save these people? Therefore they picked up stones. I can just see this. Before Abraham was, I am. Can you hear the crowd at that point? And then, you know, this is what they do. And have you ever seen when they show you something in maybe Iran or some Middle East country? I saw one where some guy did something in Saudi Arabia and they stuck him in the ground or run him over with a car. Listen, this is Old Testament law. They picked up stones to kill your Savior. Now go back to verse 30. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed it, were they truly believers? Was their father truly Abraham? Maybe physically, but that doesn't count in the new covenant. You have to have the characteristics. How many of you inherited characteristics from your mother and father? Greg says no. Yes, you did. Eye color, hair color, height, whether you get fat like I'm getting right now, that's inherited. If you're Abraham's children, what is the greatest characteristic that Abraham's children are going to have? And if you don't have faith, did Jesus say you're Abraham's children? Now, did Pastor Dave say that or did Jesus? Now, don't get mad at me. Go home and study. If you get upset with me, I'm not forcing you. There's no forcing at Grace Bible Church. We are not, I'm not dressed in a robe with a cross as the Pope telling you, you know, this is what, I'm showing you the Word of God. You disagree, I challenge you. Please study the Word of God. Go back, get mad at me and say, I'm going to prove that bozo wrong. Go ahead. I don't care. Good luck with that. Not that I'm always right, but good luck with that. Huh? Go back, get the Word of God out. Study it. That's why there's so many idiot theologians. We're not studying the Bible anymore. We're studying books by idiot theologians. They call that in research secondary resourcing. Go back to the primary resource, the Word of God. Take all your theology and say, does the Word of God support what man has taught? And many times the answer is, heck no. And I cleaned that up. Heck no. All right, going back to Hebrews. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Today and Monday. Joe Biden just took the oath this morning. I swear, I guess he used the Bible. Somebody now wants to use something else now, but they take a book of authority and they, I swear that I will uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Except I'll remove it through the Patriot Act, the NDAA, and we'll torture American citizens and we'll not uphold the Constitution. Dave just got political, didn't he? What am I saying? I'm saying, you know what's supposed to happen when guys don't uphold and defend the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? You know what happens? They've lied under oath. And what do you do with politicians that lie under oath? What should you do? Huh? Impeach them! Good luck with that. And I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. They're both crooks. Tomorrow, the president will take the same oath. I, such and such, promise to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States in all of it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now let's go arrest Americans without warrant, without trial. Let's go infringe on people's rights. The Bill of, you know, by the way, let me just tell you this, because this is off the subject, I'm getting pulled, you'll forgive me. But rights are something that are inherently yours. The Bill of Rights is not the government giving you those rights. They're inherent to you, not from government, but from God, the Founding Fathers said. To infringe on your free speech and your rights is to violate what God gave you. So when they say that, and then they contradict it, their validity in office is questionable. Now, why do I say that? Because I'm going to make a bigger point now that you're all mad at me. The Democrats are mad at me because I said it, and the Republicans are mad at me because I said it. That's why I'm neither one. Impeach them and impeach them all. It says this, for men swear by one greater than themselves. Now, what do men swear by on the Constitution? What have they traditionally sworn by in America? Okay, the Bible. They say, my oath is dependent upon keeping what this book says. That's a comedy. That's a comedy act right there. Government has murdered 260 million people. They put their oath on the Bible and say, on the basis of the authority of Scripture. But look what God did. Look what God did, and we've got to take this up. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. I swear on the Bible. In the same way, God desiring even more to show the heirs of promise the what? The unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath. Who did God swear by? Did He take a Bible? Let's go back there. Let's go back. Let's see what God did. Come on, Genesis 14. Let's go back to Genesis 14. 15, excuse me. Now, let me give you the background here. Genesis 15 is 10 years after God gave His first promise in Genesis 12 that I'll give you a descendant. Guess what? There was no descendant. Isaac had not been born. So Abraham did something out of faith. He wasn't perfect. They Mickey Moused an heir through Ishmael. Hagar was used as a surrogate. Today we have test tube babies. In those days they had surrogates. And God had to say, Ishmael will not be yours because a true Hebrew Jewish person has to be related through whom? Sarah and Abraham. But Ishmael was through Hagar and Abraham. God said, I can't accept that. So in chapter 15, Abraham's getting impatient with God's promises. And Abraham said, since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is going to be my heir. In those days, they had a rule, just like we have wills and testaments and all of this kind of stuff. The rule was that Abraham was going to cede, when he died, everything to his chief servant. That was part of their rules, the codes they lived by. So, Lord, if I die, it's going to be my servant that gets everything, not my son. You haven't given me a son, and by the way, it's your fault. You promised, and you didn't, chapter 15, and you didn't give it. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man, that is Ishmael, will not be, or that servant will not be yours, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be an heir. And God took him out and said, see those stars? That's how many heirs you're going to have. And then God said this to him, which is really weird in our thinking, but I'll tell you what was going on. He said to God in verse 8 of chapter 15, oh Lord, how will I know that you're going to keep your promises? So he said to him, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Now this is going to be weird. God said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then Abraham brought all these to the Lord and cut them in two and laid them half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. So here you have animals cut in half in a row, like a sidewalk of animals with room for people to walk through. Now what they would do, by the way, this is how they did contracts in those days. Today you'd go to an attorney, he'd charge you gazillions to see him, and we sign signatures and we have the notary. Hey, look, that's just the way we do it. In those days, an actual contract was this. When you wanted to enter into the most serious of contracts, you would kill animals and divide them up. Why? Because the killing of the animal signified this. If either one of you don't keep your promise, you're dead. Now that's why they killed the animals. Death was involved, and it was a way to say to them, if you don't keep your side of the bargain when we walk through, you're a dead person. Hey, the Old Testament people meant business. Today, you don't keep your word, you get another attorney and he defends you and you end up countersuing. That didn't happen in those days. The animals were cut up, put at distance so that the two people could walk through vowing. This is like the hand on the Bible kind of a thing. Okay? Vowing that they would keep the promise. And if they didn't, and that meant whoever didn't keep it, this guy that kept it and the other didn't, would go find him and kill him. And he was not convicted of murder. It was justifiable homicide for failure to keep the promise. Would you like to be under the old covenant? Huh? This was before the old covenant. As bad as lawyers are, I'd rather have a lawyer. This is a lot safer. Anyway, watch what happens. Now, when the sun was going down, Abraham is put into a deep, called sleep here, but it was a prophetic type of thing, an ecstatic state of some sort. And God appears to him and says to him, know that your descendants will be strangers in the land. They're going to go down to Egypt for 400 years, but I will also judge the nations whom they will serve. Now, who did God raise up? Egypt. In his divine sovereignty. Why did God punish Egypt? Because they did what they did to God's people. Wait, sovereignty of God, responsibility of man. Can't get away from it. Works every time. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. That means God has so much sin that they can fill up. Then he gets weird, huh? Then it says this. It came about, verse 17, when the sun set, that it was unusually dark. And behold, a smoking oven. This was the signator. People would take light of fire and walk now through the animal part, saying, if I don't keep this promise that we have made, you can kill me. And they'd walk through with this. You say, that's weird. That's, well, if you showed what we do today, they'd say, you people are weird. You know, it's just culture, custom. And then look what it says. A smoking oven and a flaming torch pass through these pieces. Now, where was Abraham? Where was Abraham? Who was walking this through? God signed his signature and said, it doesn't depend upon you, Abraham. And here's what God meant by this, as he by himself walked through. And Abraham is just looking like this. If I don't keep my promises to you, Abraham, I am not God, and I will die. You can kill me, Abraham, if I don't keep my promises. Now that tells you how certain the promises of God are. You can't kill God, and it means God upholds that oath by his very person himself, not Abraham. Abraham was a scoundrel in many ways. What made Abraham God's child was this. What's it called? Faith. Ladies, you wouldn't want him for a husband. When he went down to Egypt, He was afraid that they'd do him in because Sarah was, in those culture, very beautiful. So he says, look, do me a favor. Tell him you're my sister. So they go down to Egypt. He sells his wife out for his own skin. And then God has to appear to Pharaoh saying, you touched that woman and you're a dead man. And then Pharaoh goes, get out of here. That must have scared Pharaoh. That's the kind of, he was a scoundrel. What made him a child of Abraham? Faith. What makes you a child of Abraham? Are you a child of Abraham if you're physically related to Abraham and don't have faith? Whose child are you? Jesus said. Doesn't matter for Gentile or Jew. You either believe or you don't. If you don't, you're of your father the devil. And God walked through it. On that day the Lord made a covenant, a promise, a contract. To your descendants I will give this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates, the Kenite, the Amorite, the Kadmonite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaimite, the Shamite, the Miltite, whatever. The Amorite, Canaanite, Girgashite, Jebusite. God signed the contract, Abraham didn't. God said, I'll guarantee it. And if I don't keep my promise, what can you do with God then? He has to die. Now let's go back to Hebrews. And so having patiently waited, verse 15, for men swear by one, verse 16, greater than themselves. In the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, what are those unchangeable things? God's promise to Abraham, which rests upon God keeping His word Himself. And if God doesn't keep His word, what happens to God? We who have taken refuge would have strong... You know, that should encourage you. All the promises to God that He made to you, that He would come back for you, that He would take you to His kingdom, that He will... Everything He said is based right there in the contract that God signed alone with Abraham. The Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel 7, the new covenant all comes rolling out of this. And that is the guarantee for everything that the Christian has. It rests upon God saying, if I don't do it, kill me. But God can't lie. God can't die. And the promises for that reason are certain because of that. So He's saying to these people, faith, trust in what I've promised. But I want to read, but it also will say this in Hebrews. It also will say this in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11:39, all these, including Abraham, having gained approval through their faith. What gains approval of God in your life? It's that simple. It's that hard. To be honest with you, I'm a midget here. Faith. Isn't it hard? It's a simple principle. Isn't that hard to trust God? They did not receive what was promised. Even Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11, we're going to find out, has not yet received what was promised. Why? Look at verse 40 of Hebrews 11. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us... Who's the us? Us, church. The new covenant. They would not be made perfect. And look what it says. Verse 16 in Hebrews 11. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to call their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And Abraham did not receive the promises. He was at all these, verse 13 of Hebrews 11, all these died in faith without having received the promises. Why? Until the last believer in Jesus Christ is in the fold, God won't shut the door. I'll tell you one thing. Say what you want. I'm thankful God took this oath. Because if it was one of our politicians that took this oath, you wouldn't have a snowball's chance of this ever be fulfilled. They can raise their hand and say they'll uphold the Constitution and at the same time undermine it all at the same time, don't they? But God, when He says He will, He'll keep all the word that He promised. That means the coming of Jesus Christ is very certain. But maybe not as fast as we want it. Because Abraham sure didn't get what he wanted fast, did he? Personally, faith is a very difficult thing because it's so easy. Yet, isn't it so hard?